You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
We are taking is Zimbabwe. We are taking the issues very seriously.
U.S. officials are also investigating. Walter James Palmer is in hiding after receiving death threats. The Center for Medical Progress has released its fourth video showing actors posing as researchers speaking with Planned Parenthood doctors about buying aborted baby body parts. Meanwhile, a California court has barred the group from releasing any new videos. And the Senate may vote as soon as Monday on a bill to eliminate federal funds going to the abortion provider. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The Coast Guard will suspend search at sunset for two 14-year-old fishermen missing off the Florida coast, according to Captain Mark Fetter.
This was a true all-hands-on-deck effort. Between the Coast Guard, our brethren in the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Defense, our state and local partners, as well as the government of Bahamas.
He says the families of Perry Cohen and Austin Stefanos are trying to figure out how to cope.
They are going through a traumatic time, so obviously that you know, kind of put another hammer onto them.
The teens have been missing for a week. A federal magistrate has entered not guilty pleas on 33 federal charges, including hate crimes, for a white man accused of gunning down 9 black parishioners at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. During today's hearing for Dylan Roof, his attorney says he wanted to enter a plea of guilty, but the lawyer said because the government hasn't decided whether to seek the death penalty, attorneys could not advise Roof on that issue. The judge also heard briefly from family members of victims of the attack. No city has ever hosted both the Summer and Winter Olympics, but now Beijing will be the first. The Chinese capital has been awarded the 2022 Winter Olympics, taking the games back to the city that hosted the summer version in 2008. The International Olympic Committee says Beijing is a secure, reliable choice. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Heide & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Good afternoon. It's a few minutes after 4 on Friday. I don't even want to think about the fact that this is the last Friday and the last day in July. But it is July 31st. I'm Pat Smits, the program It's the Law, and I want to tell you about the weather. And I also want to remind you, if you're in the area and think about it, the Pottersville Antique Show and Sale is going on yesterday, today, tomorrow. I don't think it's Sunday, but I know it's these 3 days. And they have lunch, and I happen to be in the area today, so I stopped for lunch, and it's great. This is their main fundraiser. I think it's the main one for the fire department in Pottersville. It's an all-volunteer fire department, and there must have been at least 100 people in Little Pottersville for lunch. And if you've not been to Pottersville, it's that quaint little town, not even a town, just east and a bit north of Oldwick. So it's one of our neighbors in Hunterdon County. And, you know, if you have some time and you're riding around tomorrow, you know, take an opportunity to stop for lunch. And don't miss the ice cream with peaches. I mean, it was to die for. I'm telling you, you know, sandwiches, they have sandwiches, drinks, but the desserts, the highlight is the dessert, especially the vanilla ice cream with peaches. You know, you'll thank me. If you've never liked peaches particularly, this is great. So it's always nice to see what's going on. I know there's a lot of other things that are going on here in Hunterdon, and this weekend, let's see what kind of weather there will be for tomorrow. So tomorrow it's sunny, high of about 89 degrees, mostly clear tomorrow night, and again, mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of about 87 degrees. So this looks like a weekend with, you know, 2 days of beautiful weather. There is a slight chance of thunderstorms on Saturday night, about a 20% chance. Probably, you know, we'll bring down, you know, we'll bring up the humidity a bit. But as I said, today's mostly sunny, tomorrow's mostly sunny, and Sunday is mostly sunny, and partly cloudy on Sunday night. And again, if you have a long weekend, again on Monday should be at least mostly sunny on Monday. So it should be the next 3 days and today really warm, but really a nice long weekend. So, as people know, it's 4 o'clock on Friday, and the program, It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and I often have guests, or else I let you know what's happening in the legal world as far as legal news. And one of the things that I wanted to do today is thank my guests from last week, Bill Singer and Deb Gustin. And if you know of anyone who has any issues or questions about some of the legal issues that are faced by lesbian and gay couples, listen to the program, download the program, because they did an excellent job talking about some of the problems that still, some of the things that parents, especially parents, gay and lesbian parents, need to think about, because there are still issues. Even though we don't think there are issues in New Jersey, of course, people travel, and one of the things that they reminded everyone is they have to be very careful about getting passports, because traveling in some countries with a child can be very difficult for anyone, but definitely one of the things that we run into in family law with parents is the fact that both parents have to agree to obtain a passport. And one of the things that I try to do in agreements, whenever there's any chance that a parent might want to travel with a child, is try to negotiate a provision in the property settlement agreement to make sure that the parents will cooperate to get a passport, perhaps decide who's going to hold the passport, because otherwise it can be, as one of my clients learned recently, can be a very expensive proposition, and if a judge is not being cooperative, as this judge was not cooperative, my client did not get an opportunity to take his 14-year-old son to Europe. I mean, I think it was a travesty, but because his former wife blocked it, the judge would not change the terms of their agreement. I had not represented him when the agreement was negotiated. At the time, the child was 2 years old, and so they never thought that this issue would come up, or that certainly my client didn't think that he'd run into a problem with it. But along with his former wife, who, you know, just refused, and a judge who sat on things for much longer than the judge should have, and then just denied it without prejudice, which meant it was prejudicial because, of course, at this point, he didn't have time to do anything as far as an appeal. He's in Europe, and his son, a very unhappy son, is here. So that's one of the things that people need to be very careful about in divorce agreements, is to think about things that could possibly happen in the future and try to negotiate as many of those as possible. So that's kind of an aside. There is quite a bit of legal news this week, and as far as cases, and I was hoping today to have a guest to talk with me to you and talk about the new case decided by the Supreme Court, Nall versus Nall. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. G-N-A-L-L. That was Elizabeth Nall versus James Nall. And it was just decided on July 29th by the New Jersey Supreme Court. And the opinion was written by Justice Fernandez-Vina. So that this had to do with whether or not alimony should be paid, whether there should be permanent alimony or less than permanent alimony. Now, of course, some people might say that it's almost a non-issue in light of the fact of the new alimony statute. And we have talked about the alimony statute in the past. And, of course, we will talk about that again. And the alimony statute was enacted, and it amends the act concerning alimony, and it amended the New Jersey statute, which is NJS 2A:34-23. So, in fact, the legislature changed and put in more specific information in the statute about what can or cannot do. And specifically, that's why some people are saying that the Nall case is not really a decision, that it's not perhaps as significant as it would have been without the statute. Because what the statute now says is that for any marriage or civil union, so in New Jersey, of course, if a couple, a same-sex couple, decide that they want to enter into a civil union rather than marriage, the statutes with respect to marriage apply equally to people who are in a civil union. So if I talk marriage, I mean both marriage and civil union. But in any case, the statute itself, there are, if in any case in which there's a request for an award of alimony, the court shall consider and make specific findings on the evidence about all of the statutory factors. And there are a number of statutory factors that are listed in the statute. However, the one of the changes is that they've taken out a big section of the statute as it was enacted before this, and included the following: for any marriage or civil union less than 20 years in duration, the total duration of alimony shall not, except in exceptional circumstances, exceed the length of the marriage or civil union. So in that case, the legislature also said that determination of the length and amount of alimony shall be made by the court pursuant to consideration of all of the statutory factors that are set forth in the statute. And then they went on to say, in addition to those factors, the court shall also consider the practical impact of the party's need for separate residences and the attendant increase in living expenses on the ability of both parties to maintain a standard of living reasonably comparable to the standard of living established in the marriage or civil union to which both parties are entitled, with neither party having a greater entitlement thereto. Well, that seems to make perfect sense. However, there are many cases where some of the courts seem to focus on the standard of living of the dependent spouse without taking a look at whether or not the supporting spouse could also maintain that lifestyle. So this clarified that the court has to look at both parties. And frankly, it also has to realize, and everyone has to realize, that it's very unusual for both parties to be able to maintain the marital lifestyle, because instead of having one household, people now have two households. And except for the extremely wealthy, it's very difficult to get along on the same amount of money, as most of us know. Now, of course, sometimes that can be ameliorated by a spouse who had been staying home, and it's usually the woman, but if she has the ability to go back into the workforce and earn a substantial amount of money, it doesn't help much if somebody has to go back, earn minimum wage or slightly above minimum wage, and yet go out and pay for daycare. So these things are really practical, and you know, nobody likes to pay alimony, but the fact is that there is a need in some cases, and certainly in lengthy marriages, very often, if there's been a stay-at-home spouse, there is certainly a need for alimony. And that's why if it is a 20-year or more marriage, there is no such limitation. So if someone is married for 20 years, they might be 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old. It doesn't mean that it can stop in less than, or in 20 years. On the other hand, there are other issues such as whether or not someone is retired, whether or not they should be able to retire. And I'm not saying able to retire as much as anybody can retire, but whether or not they should have to continue to pay alimony. And certainly, the bigger issue often is someone having to pay child support. In fact, I was involved in a case today where the father is over 60 and the child is 8 years old. And, you know, here dad is saying, gee, I would like to retire in another year or two. And we have a child that's going to need support, and certainly need support much more than someone who's retired, or at least what he would be getting in retirement benefits. So those are the dilemmas, and unfortunately there are too many people out there who really don't think about this when they're having children at an older age. In other words, talked to another lawyer involved in the case today, and he had a relative who, you know, he's 57 years old and has a toddler. So these are things that people sometimes don't think about, and then when the issue comes up as to child support, it becomes a real problem, because there's an expectation that, in fact, someone may have to work beyond the normal retirement age, if in fact they have to support children. So in any event, I do want to talk some more about the Nall case, but I was thinking that perhaps the better thing to do is to have someone else come in, and we could talk more about the new alimony statute and the Supreme Court case in Null to see where we think that, you know, if the Null case now has any real significance. Of course, this was a case where the decision was prior to the enactment of the statute. So the statute is not going to be, people can't just come running back and say, gee, you know, I know I was married for 14 years and I've been paying alimony for 16 years. It's not that simple. So don't get your hopes up for those of you who have been paying alimony for a long time. I did want to talk a little bit about a case that was, it wasn't approved yet for publication, but it was it's a Hudson County case, and Judge D'Alessandro had a situation where kind of a heartfelt situation. I'm not going to give you the background, but basically because the child, the parties had one child, they were married not in this country, in another country. They lived in the other country. The wife and the daughter lived in another country for about 14 years, and then the father sponsored their immigration to the United States, and they arrived here in 2 years ago. And what happened is the daughter, of course, had no recollection of her father, and they were strangers, except, of course, she had always heard about her father in the United States, and she had great expectations when she came here. There were a number of problems between the parents, and at one point the daughter had some problems because of being bullied in school, and she had some medical situation. And her mom actually sent her back to Peru to live with relatives, and that didn't work out as well as possible, so she came back. And now, you never bring children to court, but apparently in this case, she was in court. The judge happened to see her, and mom had said she really wanted to talk to the judge, and basically she explained to him, he allowed that to happen in the courtroom, and she explained that, you know, she wanted to know if it was possible for her father to see her once a week, and, you know, and she would also like to give him a big hug. Well, it was very interesting. The father, at first, he was reluctant. He said he obviously had no bond with her, but as things went on in the courtroom, he began to see things through his daughter's eyes. And long story short, or not such a long case, but the father agreed to have some counseling. The daughter was in counseling, and they were actually did hug in the courtroom. And the judge in this case, very interesting, he actually facilitated the daughter's wish and her request to see her father once a week. He ordered it. Now, what we often as attorneys see is that when the custodial parent violates an order, the court has the right to impose substantial sanctions. However, in this case, the court found that it had the equitable authority to facilitate parenting time, and did so to accomplish, and there are cases where say that the family court possesses broad equitable powers to accomplish substantial justice. And the court, the judge in this case, cited certain cases and felt that the judge felt that he had the authority to facilitate and grant the daughter's request. However, he was able to do so in such a way that the father bought into it. In other words, there would be, you know, not a happy situation if the father was going to do this in a way that he made it obvious every time he visited the daughter that he was rejecting her. But in any event, so often we hear of all the bad things going on, especially in family court and decisions, and we sometimes lose sight of the child, and sometimes some judges lose sight because they're so pushed to get their numbers and to get cases done that they may also lose sight of the people in front of them, and this judge did not. So he actually ordered the father to call the daughter frequently and see her weekly. However, he didn't do it in a vacuum, and that was what was so important about the case to me as an attorney. The court actually identified low-cost counseling and a program designed to foster fathering skills. And so in this case, the father was able to participate in a program called Fatherhood Program, and that's at a visiting homemaker service in Hudson County. This was a Hudson County case. So this happened to be a judge who had some resources available, and that is such a problem so often. There are not resources available. Here in Hunterdon County, we had a wonderful program for supervised visitation, and the volunteer who did it was terrific, and at some point she was unable to continue the program, and frankly, I haven't had anyone that's been assigned to supervised visitation recently. But when we have these programs, it really can help everyone. And in this case, we have a situation where this child may actually end up having a good relationship with her father. And to the mother's credit, she wasn't trying to thwart it. And that's the difficulty. I mean, the case I talked about recently where the mom would not allow the father to get a passport, would not cooperate, and then the court didn't do it. Obviously, she was trying to thwart the father's relationship with his son. And frankly, I think over time it will backfire. And I've had a number of other cases where what happens is the children end up insisting on living with the parent who has not been in their lives, and has not been in their lives because the custodial parent has thwarted it. So that's not at all unusual, and one of the things that everyone out there needs to think about, of course, primarily are the kids. So what we'll do is take a couple breaks, and then we'll take a news break, and we'll be back with what's happening around the state recently, meaning legal news.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Versa, Jody Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, huntertonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. A drone is being used in the search for a San Francisco teacher missing in the El Dorado National Forest.
The advantage is it's able to stay up in the air for so long. A traditional helicopter, you will have to refuel after a couple hours, whereas this can stay up there for 6-7 hours and can cover a much broader area than a helicopter typically can.
National Guard Chaplain Will Martin says the drone sent up on Wednesday was able to provide detailed aerial pictures and instantly relay them to the ground crews. There's still no sign yet of Edward Cavanaugh, who was last seen 2 weeks ago riding his motorcycle on a trail through El Dorado County. Zimbabwe is beginning extradition proceedings to bring an American dentist to the African nation to stand trial. Dr. Walter Palmer is the Minnesota man who killed a protected lion known as Cecil earlier this month. Palmer reportedly paid $50,000 for the guided hunt, but Zimbabwe officials say the lion was lured out of a national park so Palmer could shoot it. A former University of Cincinnati police officer charged with murder is free on bond. Ray Tenzing was able to post 10% of his $1 million bail in order to be released yesterday evening. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, this is Amy Dace. In a recent new customer survey, over 90% of respondents would recommend Ovation Hair to a friend, and I am definitely in that 90%. Ovation Cell Therapy nourishes the hair and scalp with proteins, vitamins, and other key nutrients. Cell therapy is proven to reduce hair breakage and deliver thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair with no drugs or caustic medications. So join me now in using Ovation Cell Therapy to make your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier looking.
Go to ovationhair.com today to learn more. And remember to select Steve Dace at checkout to receive an additional introductory discount. If you've ever wanted to try Ovation Cell Therapy or you're a longtime customer, now's the time to stock up on all your favorite Ovation Hair Care products. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to select Steve Dace at checkout to receive an additional introductory discount.
Hi, we're back. I'm Pat Smith. The program, It's the Law, and it's the last day of July. So what's been happening in the legal news? As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court decided the case Null versus Null, and that case actually was prior to the amendment of the statute. And what happened in the case and what the Supreme Court probably took on the case because they felt that the appellate division decision in the case erroneously created a bright line rule that a 15-year marriage requires an award of permanent alimony, contrary to the need to consider all of the statutory factors. Well, we now know that under the new amended statute, a 15-year marriage, a judge would not be able to award more than 15 years of alimony, except under certain exceptional circumstances. But the one thing that I think Null does and is important is the justices also said and held that the trial court also improperly relied upon the duration of the marriage over the other statutory factors in determining that permanent alimony was not awarded, not warranted. So the issue here is the trial judges, are once again on notice that they must consider all of the factors, and you can't just rely on the length of the marriage to make that determination. And this is really, it is important, and we often argue that there are a number of factors. And we can go over, and I will go over the factors again at another time, but the judges are required to make what we call findings of fact and conclusions of law based on all of the factors. And factors include things like, did the one parent, basically give up a career, stay home, care for children? What was the role of each parent in the marriage? Because most people would agree, might not like it, but they'd agree that if someone, and it's been traditionally the woman, who has stayed home, given up her career, it's very difficult for most people, if they've not worked for a period of years, even if they had a good career earlier, it's very difficult to get back into it. Not to tell personal war stories, but I recently have a case where it was the husband who took part-time jobs to basically spend most of the time with the children so that the wife could pursue an advanced degree, her education, etc., because they recognized that she was going to be able to earn substantially more money by doing that than the husband would be able to recognize. And, of course, then when they separated, she was kicking and screaming at she should not have to support her husband. Now, our laws on the books, it doesn't make any difference if it's the man or the woman who's the dependent spouse. I can tell you there's still a lot of prejudice out there if a man is looking for alimony. In fact, I had lunch today with some people. As I said, I was at the in Pottersville, and somebody brought up a situation where she knows a woman who ended up having to pay her husband alimony because she had gone on and, not the same case, but she had gone on and gotten a degree and was making a lot more money. So there is still, there's still that, you know, that's one bias, I think, for, you know, another bias against men. I don't know, I shouldn't say another, but that is certainly an expectation that a man should be able to go out there. But in fact, in my case, this man really did work part-time for a number of years so that there would be a parent home with the children rather than having to put them in into daycare. So in any event, the Lisa Nall case now once again tells the trial judges that they have to look at all the factors, not just one. So what else is happening? Well, the legislature has been busy. The Senate on July 23rd approved a bill that would allow for the automatic termination of child support when the recipient, meaning the child, reaches the age of 19. And this, under this statute, support would stop by operation of law unless another age for termination is specified in an existing court order. And, you know, the parents and a judge agree that support can continue until another predetermined date, or a judge agrees to order continued support based on an application filed by a parent or guardian of the child, or the support recipient is an out-of-home placement through the Division of Child Protection and Permanency. I mean, now let's forget that, but basically that's a whole other situation when children are out of the home and they're in foster care and what the division can do. But in general, what happens now? So someone would say to me, well, why this law? Why 19? Why not 18? You mean that someone can't just stop paying child support when their child is 18? Well, the answer to that is no. Child support in New Jersey does not stop at a child for a child when the child reaches the age of 18. It doesn't terminate when the child graduates from high school. In New Jersey, child support continues until a child is emancipated, and the emancipation age can be 18, 19, 20, 21, etc. And the other part of that is, and the important part, is that most payors are now paying support through the probation department. And there's a big push to have all payments through probation, to have wage garnishments, to, you know, pull everything through the court system. And I won't get on my high horse as to why I think this is wrong, but the federal government is certainly behind a lot of this because they want child support collected. And if a state collects a certain amount of child support, they get federal funding. And so there's this whole bureaucracy. Unfortunately, what this means is that the parents, and it's usually fathers, but the parents who are out there who pay child support still have to go through the system. And believe it or not, when a child, let's say, graduates from high school, does not go into college, or goes to college and doesn't finish college or finishes college, the parent who's paying support does not automatically get to call the probation department and say, hey, you know, my child is out of school, he or she is working, maybe full-time, but the child support continues, and the probation departments will not just stop it without the custodial parent's agreement. And obviously in these tough cases, it usually means that the parent paying child support has to actually file an application with the court, prove that the child, the recipient of the child support, is in fact emancipated. And so it's a very costly, time-consuming process, and very frustrating both for the parent who's paying child support, for the child who's not getting any benefit from that child support, and for attorneys, because we don't like to have to charge clients to do these things. So this statute would at least change the burden. In other words, the burden would then be on the custodial parent to show why the child support should not be terminated at that point. And people still, and will continue, most likely to put things in agreements that they will continue to pay child support until the child is emancipated. But the problem that's been created, and I think the impetus to this legislation, is the difficulty of a parent who pays child support, maybe pays child support for years, to get it terminated once the child is emancipated. In fact, you know, horror of horrors, I have a case now, not in Hunterdon County, but in another county, where my client actually agreed to allow the stepfather to adopt the children. His former wife, basically the children were estranged for him, from him for years. They had no contact. The mother had remarried many years ago. They looked to the stepfather as really their father figure. And my client finally said, look, I've tried to get parenting time with the children. I've done everything. I've spent a lot of money through the court system trying to enforce my rights as a parent. It's not happening. So I will agree to allow the children to be adopted. Well, everything went through, and guess what? He's still getting dunned by the probation department for child support. Not child support that he owed before, but they keep adding up the child support. And, you know, the letters and nothing else has helped. We're going to end up having to file a motion to end his child support. That's just wrong. So hopefully this new legislation will not create more problems, but will, you know, assist in situations where a child is emancipated and the parent should no longer have to pay support. And, you know, look, we need to make sure our children are supported. I think that is the really important thing. On the other hand, you can get very vindictive ex-spouses who will do anything possible to make life difficult. I mean, what spouse would, former spouse, would not allow a child to take a wonderful trip to very safe countries in Europe, you know, with his father? Not 3 years old, he's 14 years old. What mother would refuse to, you know, have a passport issued? You know, why would somebody insist on getting child support for a child who, you know, is out working full-time, educated, etc.? But unfortunately, people do that, and then, you know, what I find interesting is so often the lawyers get blamed for litigation, and which would bring me full circle to try to resolve issues in any court case, and especially in family cases. Well, I'm going to take a short break to just let you know who our sponsors are, and because we do thank them for making this and giving us the opportunity. And then I'll be back with some wrap-up and some more news. Okay.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, thanks again to our sponsors. And talking about legal news, Governor Christie is again in the legal news because the former New Jersey prosecutor who claims he was fired for objecting to the dismissal of indictments against political allies of the governor has won his second bid to review sealed grand jury documents in his whistleblower suit. And this was in a July 17th ruling. Mercer County Superior Court Judge Douglas Hurd granted Bennett Barlin's motion to compel disclosure of grand jury records that he contends will bolster his case. So the saga continues. And not sure that Governor Christie is doing that well in his bid for presidency, but this is not case is not going away. There's an appellate court ruling also that three former employees of the auditing giant Ernst & Young must have their age discrimination claims sent to arbitration because they did agree to alternate dispute resolution by staying on the job. So in other words, this was in a case that the appellate division upheld the language in the employment policy that said that employees demonstrated their acceptance of a mandatory arbitration policy by remaining as company employees. So it's something that everybody should look at. Most employment, certainly at big firms, do require arbitration. And that not that arbitration is a bad thing, but that it requires arbitration before someone can, in fact, go to court. And in age discrimination cases, they certainly sent, they said that they were, thought that they'd do better, obviously, in court, and that's why they did that. So I don't know if anybody heard about the Hertz shareholder suit, but in that action on behalf of Hertz Global Holdings, Inc., shareholders, it was dismissed because the judge found that there was no support for claims that the company concealed financial problems in order to inflate the price of its stock. But you know what? There are lawsuits out there for everything. And there's a case about marital fraud. It doesn't require intent, but I'm not going to talk really about that case today. It's a little esoteric because it dealt with an annulment, and generally an annulment is difficult to get in New Jersey. But very often people with very short marriages, obviously, they'd rather have the marriage annulled rather than have to go through a divorce and say they were divorced, especially if there's an annulment ab initio, which means the marriage never took place. And I suppose if there's any interest, people can let me know and we'll talk more about that subject another time. Now, the New Jersey Supreme Court has also ruled that defendants in civil actions brought under the state's Insurance Fraud Prevention Act, the IFPA, they have a right to a jury trial. And most people would prefer a jury trial, certainly not in family matters, but in certain cases, people obviously would want to opt for a jury trial rather than a judge. I think there are other cases where it's difficult to say. I mean, there are some jury trials that there are some trials that are so complex and are going to take such a long time that in those cases, perhaps the judge would, I'm two minds, because in some ways, if it's not a jury, these trials can really extend over a long period of time, at least in family court. We do not have jury trials, but this means that the judges fit the trials in as they have time. And that can be a problem, because you can start a trial, and I have a trial going on right now in Essex County that's going to take well over a year from beginning to end. And not that we're going to have that many days of trial, but just that we get a few days of trial, then somehow it's then adjourned for 2 or 3 months or 4 months. Right now we had a few days in July. We're not going back until January. So that with a jury trial, they can't do that, because the jurors, they come in, they sit, they have to make a decision at the end of the trial. So from a standpoint of a litigant, it's much better to get it in, get it done, get it over. Now, our Governor Christie just, can't win for trying sometimes. Now, apparently there was a new law that barred the Archdiocese of Newark to sell headstones to their parishioners intending to be buried in its Catholic cemeteries. And the Archdiocese of Newark has sued the governor over that law. And, I have not really read the case, so I'm not going to comment on it. I'm assuming that perhaps there was some requirement that people using the cemeteries had to buy the headstones. But at some point, we may talk about that again. But at this point, I don't know anything more about it to do that. The this is interesting, that the justices of the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that a dropped 911 call may be enough of a reason to allow police to invoke the emergency aid doctrine and enter a home without a warrant over the objections of the homeowner. So obviously what happened in that situation, and I have not read the case specifically, but if you call 911, even if you just dial the 9 and the 1, the police will in fact follow up. If you have a situation where instead of dialing 411, you happen to inadvertently dial 911, you better stay there, because the police must come to the residence or wherever you're calling from and investigate. And there are children who will inadvertently call 911, and the same thing happens. So in this case, the police came to the residence. The homeowner objected to their coming in, and in fact they did go in, and using the emergency aid doctrine, and entered the home without a warrant. Obviously, they were following up on the 911 call, and everyone would complain if they had not done something. And let's assume for a minute someone makes a 911 call, and they're murdered, or they start to make a 911 call, and they're prevented from doing it, and seriously injured or even killed, and the police try to investigate. And if they would back off just because someone answered the door and said, no, I don't want you in my house, they would not be able to go in and perhaps help the seriously injured person. So the fact that the police investigate, even drop 911 calls, is important. I mean, that is an important service that they provide. And I certainly understand the reasoning in this case. And I guess what I'll do is at some point I'll try to read it and see if there's anything else of interest. But that, and, you know, that could be a real problem for the police if, in fact, they didn't investigate. So what's happening with our Senator Robert Menendez and his, you know, all of the charges against him? Well, for one, the lawyers that are representing him have filed 15 separate motions to dismiss his corruption indictment, including one that claims the charges depend on proving allegations through evidence that is not admissible. And he's saying that if there are charges that depend on proving whatever the charges were, and the evidence to prove that is not admissible under the speech and debate clause, that that charge can't be brought. And there was a there's been a long-running legal malpractice action against the firm Morgan Malouish, and that case failed on its second trip up to the what we call a second trip up to the appellate ladder, and the appellate division said the plaintiff himself, a New Jersey lawyer, fell short in showing the firm acted improperly in accusing him of fraud in a letter to his professional malpractice or professional negligence carrier, I guess. So this lawyer has lost for the second time on that issue. So now, again, Governor Christie. The headline was, Christie knew limitations as U.S. attorney, sources say. So this deals with when President George W. Bush tapped Governor Christie for U.S. attorney. And those of you who remember, remember that before he was a governor, he was the U.S. attorney in New Jersey. And they said that that was, in fact, was met with trepidation by lawyers who practiced criminal law in the federal courts. And apparently that was not lost on the future governor. So whatever brouhaha there is at times between the governor and some of these attorneys, you know, could stem from some of that. I guess that's what they're trying to say. Actually, I don't quite understand that allegation. But in any event, getting back to Senator Menendez, I mean, we either have Senator Menendez or Governor Christie, and not just in New Jersey. People are hearing about these cases around the country. But apparently, Senator Menendez has bolstered the team defending him against corruption charges with adding Stephen Ryan, the former general counsel, to the U.S. Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs. So he's now going to be working on that team. And so what we're doing here is Bill Wolfson has just walked in. I realize it's now 5 o'clock, so we'll take a short news break and get back with the sports guys. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm just great, Pat, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and
yes,
somewhere
it is.
Right here.
You're right.
Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio.
And we'll be back with the sports guys as soon as we play the news break.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-